and offerings, our lesson sheet, that tithing was introduced under grace. Let's look in the 14th chapter of Genesis, verse 18, see the introductory to tithing, pardon me. And I want to say this, that the word tithe simply means one-tenth of something. It's translated tenth several times, I think three times in the Old Testament. Jerry, you might look up the 18th chapter of Numbers, verse 21. And there, the word, the same word that we have for tithe, is translated tenth in relation to people. Why don't you read that for me? So we're not talking there about land or tenth of crops or tenth of spoil or tenth of as a tithe, but we're talking simply using it as a number, one tenth. And also in the New Testament, Loretta, look up John 1:39. Revelation 11:13, we talk about a tenth part of a city. John 1:39, talking about a tenth part of an hour. See, you're not using it in relation to a tithe there, as far as a tithing is concerned. Reread that in Loretta and John. The same word tithe is used there. But we know it's not talking about tithing, don't we? We're talking about a number, one-tenth. And the same way in Revelation 11:13, it's talking about one-tenth of a city. Well, we know that it's not necessarily talking about, same way in Revelation 21:20, it's talking about a tenth of a stone. And so anyway, when we read the word tithe, we're not always talking about tithing as an ordinance, but simply a tenth. And there is a disagreement here of whether, among God's people, of whether Abraham was giving a tithe as an ordinance, or he just happened to give a tenth of the spoils to Melchizedek. Now, we'll look at this in a little more detail in the seventh chapter. Let's just compare the two of Hebrews 7 and this, and see if we can determine what is being said here in Genesis. All right, let's read this in Genesis first, and then we'll turn over to Hebrews 7 and read that. In verse 17, they just come back from defeating the armies. Verse 18, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and was the priest. He was a priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, blessed be Abram, of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave him a tithe of all. Now we could translate that, and he gave him a tenth of all. But let's read what it says in Hebrews 7. For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, verse 1, priest of the Most High God, who met Abram returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abram gave him a tenth part of all, first being interpreted king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. And then it gives a description, you see, of Melchizedek. And verse 4, it tells us to consider this man, unto whom even the patriarch David gave a tenth of the spoils. And verily they which are the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people according to the law, that is, their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descendant is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham, and blessed him that had the promise. So this definitely states that it was more than just a tenth that Abraham gave. He gave a tithe, didn't he? Because both words are used in this. A tenth, and then in verse 6, they received a tithe, and the tithe went on into those that come out of the loins of Abram. Verse 8, and here men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them of whom it is witnessed that he liveth. And as I may say, so say Levi also, whom receiveth tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. So we know what happened, that this was considered a tithe. It was more than just one-tenth that Abram gave unto Melchizedek. But we also want to remember that that Melchizedek was a type of Christ. So as Abraham gave this, he was saying in a type that a tithe of all his increase of the spoils belonged to the high priest. These tithes were used even in the Mosaic government for the support of the priesthood, for the support of the priest. It's like it was given to the high priest in Melchizedek, so is it given in the high priest under Moses. So we are talking about tithing. And tithing was one of Abraham's steps of faith. He believed God. He gave it. It was a step of faith. Abraham eventually taught tithing, for Jacob promised to practice it. Now, I'm not going to turn to Genesis. The time is getting away. But if you read that in Genesis, Jacob did promise a tithe, but we have no place in the scriptures where Jacob ever kept his promise. Some say he did, some say he didn't. I say I don't know whether he did, because the Bible doesn't say so. But the tithe itself belongs to God, without doubt. We read nowhere in the Bible where the ownership was ever revoked. But one say that was stated under the law, and this is true. It was stated under the law. But principles, the same principles that was stated in Abram, was also stated in Moses. And tithing was instituted before the law was given, before the Ten Commandments came in. So tithings were the support of the Levites, or we might say the support of the, and you read all these scriptures yourself, but tithing was used by the priest for their support. And so pastors should be supported by the assembly in the same measure. The Levites gave a tenth of their tithes to the priest and to the high priest. These were the first fruits were for the priests. This was for their support. Violations of the command to tithe was reproved severely in Malachi, where tithes were taken. Where were the tithes taken? We might look at that. I think it'd be beneficial to look in Malachi 3. Of what it says concerning the tithe. Most of these I'm going to let you, but in the, we have a definite statement concerning how they robbed God. Didn't say they robbed the priest, although the priests were robbed by this, but it was God that was hurt. I'm going to read from verse 8, I guess. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and to prove me now, wherein, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open to you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive. Now, this is written to Israel, but the principles, you see, are the same. And where do we bring our gifts? To the storehouse. This is the place where we get our spiritual food. And if you're being fed, this is the place that you should give. So the question here, where was it taken? To the storehouse. Observance of it was a blessing. God blessed them. Now, we don't give in order to be blessed. That isn't our purpose. You see, giving and loving cannot be separated. We give because we love the Lord, not because in order to get a blessing. I know a preacher came out a few years ago with what he called a horn of plenty. And you give me $1,000 and God will give you $5,000 back. That looks like a pretty good profit, you know. But that isn't what God is saying here. But God does bless those that bless him. That principle is still the same. Jesus endorsed tithing. Matthew 23. Yeah, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for you pay tithes of mint and anise and cumin, and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done, and not leave the other undone. Now, he didn't say tithing was bad, but you see, they made a show of this. They should have done the other. These are the things that we should teach, is mercy and faith and love and what God is doing. Because if we see God's operation, then giving will fit into it. We'll want to support that which God is doing if we love Him. So God, Christ, though He pronounced it a lesser matter, yet He didn't tell them to neglect it either, did He? The Pharisees were condemned and called hypocrites because they were unable to know justice, because they boasted in themselves. Now, in the 7th chapter of Hebrews, Paul is not teaching tithing there. And this is something that we have to also see, is that when we study the word, we have to find the subject. Paul is not teaching tithing in the 7th chapter of Hebrews any more than he's teaching marriage in the 7th chapter of Romans. See, we can't take the 7th chapter of Romans and teach marriage from it, although it's a true statement. But he's talking about the law in Romans 7. So in the same thing, in the 7th chapter of Hebrews, he's not teaching tithing. He's teaching the Melchizedek priesthood, and that Christ is a fulfillment of this, and that Moses gave a tithe or a tenth to Melchizedek. But Paul stressed giving more than anything else. In fact, there's only two places in the Bible that talks about tithing. Giving is the outstanding thing for the church today. And as I mentioned, giving and loving run hand in hand. You can't separate the two. For God so loved the world that He did what? He gave, didn't He? A man loves his wife, he'll give to her. You can't separate giving and loving. So if we learn the grace of God and His love for us on the cross, and we love the Lord Jesus and take Him as our Savior, then giving is going to be a minor part of our life, isn't it? It's going to fall in place. If He's got my heart, He has my pocketbook. And Paul wrote, notice, let's turn in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9. We have the teachings there on giving. And we're going to have that pretty soon also in our Friday night class. Now notice, I want us to notice something in here in the line of giving. Verse 1, brethren, we do you to know, or to wit, to know the grace of God bestowed upon the churches of Macedonia, and how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying or begging us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministration of the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first they gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. Now this is what God wants in us, is to give our own selves unto Him. Jesus talked about the widow that threw in the mite. He said she gave a lot more than the others that were giving a lot. She gave more than a tenth, more no doubt, because of love. Now, notice these simple words in here, and I'll probably bring this out later in our other class. But notice the word in verse 1, grace, the word joy in verse 2, the word gift in verse 4, the word grace in verse 6, grace in verse 7, grace in verse 9, and on through there are all of these, the word thanks in verse 16, grace in verse 19. Well, anyway, there's much more than that. But all of these come from the Greek word of chara. Charisma is a gift, has a thought of a gift. The word means a free gift by grace. So the word grace, the word joy here is chara, which is comes from the same basic word, that which is given because of grace, because of love, because God has blessed us so much in sending His Son to die upon the cross. Then we want to give ourselves first, and then we'll beg people to take the gifts, just like the saints in Macedonia did. Paul taught giving much more than he did tithing. Then on our lesson sheet, we come to a conclusion. So giving is from the grace of God in the heart of the saints. To whom shall we give? Well, we give to God, don't we? Who we give to? We give to God. Where shall we give? Wherever we're being fed. How much shall we give? Well, if tithing was by Moses, was by Abraham, and adopted by Moses, and this would be a good starting point for people who know the grace of God, wouldn't it? But it, should it be a law? Should it be a limit? Somebody said, what's the difference between tithes and offerings? Well, the tithe was what was expected. The offering was over and above that. Should we that really know the grace of God, shouldn't we start where the offerings, where the tithe is left off? Should not those who know grace outdo anyone of any other age? I believe that tithing is a good standard to start by, but it sure isn't a limit to end by. We give ourselves. This is what God wants. And as we do, he has the rest of us. That pretty well takes care of that. Anybody got any questions on that?